sales win rates have plummeted to a mere 17%, and outdated technology and tedious manual processes are to blame. Meanwhile, managers lack the visibility they need to hold their teams accountable. But imagine a world in which these crippling issues are solved automatically. Revenue.io automates the most frustrating parts of sales so reps can focus on what they do best, selling. Completely automate pre-call research, logging conversation data in your CRM, writing post-conversation recap emails, and prioritized outreach. And as reps book more meetings and close more deals, managers gain the real-time insight they need to scale what's working across their entire team. Ready to say goodbye to tedious sales processes and watch your win rate soar? Head over to revenue.io to learn more.
I'm sure that most people are brilliant at what they do, or at least aspire to become brilliant, and so do a lot of good things on the way. But if the world does not know that, they're also not going to engage with you, and they're not going to find you, and opportunities are not going to come your way, right? So it is for you, it is for your career, it is for your life, right? And I mean, our journey in Shield is modest, and my own as well on LinkedIn, but I feel it and I see it, and we haven't paid for ads, we haven't paid for getting some sort of great placement. I don't even know how to talk about these things because we don't do it, right? I mean, that's where it's at.
Hi, friends. Welcome to the Sales Enablement Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Paul. That was Andreas Johnson. He's the CEO of Shield that provides LinkedIn analytics for content creators. Now, if you post on LinkedIn, you probably should be using Shield. Actually, you should use Shield. If you're in sales, as most of you are, LinkedIn is becoming even more important to you. Increasingly, it's where business happens. In our conversation today, Andreas and I talk about an area of growing importance to all sellers, which is developing your personal brand on LinkedIn. Studies show that 82% of buyers look at a seller's LinkedIn profile before speaking with them for the first time. So what are they looking for when they look at your profile? Well, Andreas shares what his experience has been as a result of using LinkedIn more effectively and the impact that has had on him personally as well as on the growth of his company, Shield. He talks about best practices for using LinkedIn and shares how to measure the impact of all the things that you're doing on LinkedIn using Shield. So all this and much, much more. But before we get to Andreas, I want to remind you to subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen to it. And if you subscribe, we'd certainly appreciate if you could also give us your feedback about how we're doing in the form of a review. So thank you. All right, let's jump into it. Andreas, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Andy. Pleasure being here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. So you're joining us from Copenhagen?
Copenhagen, Denmark, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. So we were just touching on before we started recording about the big adventure for the Danish football team the last 3 weeks in the Euro Championships.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've had a run like that. New team, upcoming players, young people who are doing a great job on the world scene, so to speak. It's been a pleasure watching.
Yeah, especially that young kid that scored the free kick yesterday. That was
absolutely. That was brilliant.
Yeah, that was quite brilliant. 35 yards out. Well, a question I guess is maybe for people who aren't familiar with soccer, like me, who spends all my time watching it. Is that Denmark's talisman, their number one player, Christian Eriksen, first match of this tournament, his heart stops on the field. Basically dead on the field. He survived, has had a implantable defib pacemaker put in. I think he may have been in the stadium in England yesterday. I think they talked about
it. Oh, really?
Well, they invited him. I don't know if he actually traveled or not. But So... yeah, when your number one player gets this traumatic thing happened to them, and you could just see it in the faces of the players. It just shows for me that, and lessons that sort of sales lessons that come from how they recovered is just the resilience. It's like obviously a close-knit group of players and men and with the coaching staff and. Two things really start. One is just the resilience, being able to put that behind them to come together, but then also the power of the coach, the leadership of the team. I think a lot of people had a tremendous amount of, and still have a tremendous amount of admiration for the coach, because, he was open and honest about the way people felt and he felt, and it wasn't just devolving to sports cliches, but he managed to rally this group of people in the face of sort of insurmountable odds.
Absolutely. I think that what he did, which was the most admirable from my point of view, was to bring empathy into the equation at the first press meeting as well, like really showing emotion and showing that it's okay to show emotion and that leaders show emotion too. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really what lifted up the team as well, because there was a lot of emotion going around. I mean, even from the distance watching, right?
Oh, there's
a man on the field who's about to die, right?
Yeah.
Exactly, right? So I think everyone watching that will sort of feel something, hopefully. And the way that he spoke about it, and also the leaders within the team, they really lifted the whole, right? Which made or enabled Denmark to really carry on in the tournament and do great things. So I think that's a really good point with the leadership, absolutely.
Yeah, and it carries over into into business. You know, the sales, I mean, it's not all just about the numbers. Increasingly, it seems to be the way that so many people are focused. You know, it's cut and dried. But yeah, we are still a collection of humans undertaking this thing, whether it's sales or business or soccer. Emotions matter.
Yeah, I think it's so much more. Yeah, I think it's so much more than numbers and data and and being super like trying to be at least objective and data driven. I mean, I run an analytics company, but we can't rely on data all the time, right? We have to also feel what feels right and what is, seems to be right and things like that, right? It's part of it all, right? As you said, we're human after all, and if we are to do anything together, let alone business, then we have to have a human connection, and I think that's key.
Couldn't agree more. Absolutely. So tell us about Shield, because and just disclaimer, I'm a customer, but tell us what you do and tell us about. Yeah, what was sort of the problem you were solving that drove you to start the company?
Absolutely. So it's actually changed from when we first started to what we're doing now. The product has evolved in a sort of I wouldn't say linear way, but sort of in a direction still. But the way we think about it has changed a lot. So initially, what we saw and discovered then, and that's three and a half years ago, was that companies here in Copenhagen, Denmark, they were on LinkedIn, the salespeople primarily, but they weren't really doing much, right? They were searching, they were trying to send some cold DMs, they were doing those kind of things, right? And then what we learned was that there were some minds that wanted to produce content in those companies to sort of add more touch points between them and their market, basically. And so doing that is something they could just go ahead and do. But how were they supposed to measure the impact, the reach, the engagement, the growth of the individual salespeople's accounts, and why would that even matter? Right, that was sort of some of the questions that we stumbled upon and discovered and asked ourselves, being just tech guys outside the whole space of LinkedIn and sales, really. So that's how it started, right? How could companies empower their employees to connect with their buyers and market on LinkedIn and add value to them on an ongoing basis through content? And then how could they measure that? How could they improve upon that so that sales becomes easier once buyers are ready to buy or engage, at least? So that was the problem we set out to solve initially, like bring some numbers into the equation, help these people who were already trying to do something like this. And we started building Shield and came up with you know, an MVP and went through iterations and so forth, as you do. Fast forward to today, we're actually focusing on creators, individual creators, a whole lot more. And when I say individual creators, it's a catch-all phrase right now. So it's someone creating content to help them in their job. So that could be a salesperson, a sales rep. But it could also be a solopreneur who's doing his own thing, or an entrepreneur who's doing his own thing, or a student who basically wants to connect with the world they want to enter when they're done studying, right? So anyone who could benefit from creating content on LinkedIn, which, by the way, I think a lot of people could benefit
from. Just everyone, almost, right?
Yeah, almost. And I'm trying to come up with cases where it would not be a fit, but I always struggle doing that, actually. So today we try to enable creators, right? We try to bring them closer to some insights as to what works and what doesn't, what is enabling and creating conversations in the niche and market. With relevant people, and that's all there is to it. Like it's simple, but it's difficult still, I would say.
Yeah, I think you sort of hit sort of an inflection point. Perhaps the timing was right. There's this growing trend. I won't say that it's the predominant trend, but a growing trend, as you talked about, is that. Mm-hmm. You have to sort of cultivate this brand of the you as the individual, right? And we know from a report that was put out last year by the Rain Group that, 82% of buyers look at a seller's profile before they talk to them for the first time. So they're not looking to see what college you went to. I mean, they want to see if you have something interesting to say, right? You have a point of view.
Absolutely.
It's no longer enough just to have that resume out there, because that doesn't help the buyer at all. I mean, you hit the sort of moment of the importance of the personal brand, which has been talked about for years, but now LinkedIn really is a vehicle where you can develop that.
Absolutely. I mean, it's happening. It's happening as we speak. And I think when we started out this 3.5 years ago, no one was really, at least from our perspective, talking about personal branding. We discovered that later on, fairly recent, like within 24 months or so, where it became something that people actually rallied behind. It became a trending hashtag on LinkedIn and so forth. So someone picked it up and did something, right? But it's definitely happening. And now, being one of the only companies who actually do what we do, we're so fortunate that a lot of people actually also come to us and choose to stay, fortunately. And between those people are a lot of, really prominent people across industries, functions, and so forth. And they all tell the same story, that once they started building their personal brand, things got easier. Yeah. Not easy, but easier.
Right.
It's never easy, but it gets easier, and that's something I felt with my very humble growth on LinkedIn, and it's something I see every day amongst the people who we are involved with. And to me, that's just fascinating, right? That you can work in sales and build leverage on LinkedIn through your personal brand. And you can be anyone, basically, as we just talked about, like a student or whatever,
right?
And build leverage on LinkedIn through your personal brand. That's just fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, I think of...
I mean, you're doing it and you're leaning into it as well. And I see that, and you're doing a really good job. And that's super interesting, right?
Yeah, and it's having the ability to track it, right? Which you couldn't previously do with LinkedIn. It makes all the difference in the world, because as a creator, I guess, I'm really interested in seeing what people engage with, what things work, see the trends over time. You give an example. You had written about, you had 1.5 million organic views on LinkedIn. Yeah. You talk about, hundreds of people reach out to connect with you on, through DMs. I thought it was funny. Mm-hmm. You got job offers. It's like, okay, didn't these people read the profile?
I was thinking the same.
That's something we still need to work on. Multiple investment offers. I mean, did you take any money as a result of that?
No, we didn't.
But obviously, recruiting people, good leads, speaking up to all relationships you talk about. I mean, another example, we found on the show is a gentleman named Casey Graham, who's CEO of a company called Gravy, and he started a company called Command AF. You're nodding. You're familiar with Casey.
Yes. And, we work with them in Command AF, actually, around personal branding.
Yeah. Which is a fabulous. Command AF is Casey's mission to help a million people build their personal brands on LinkedIn. Check it out. I mean, he's a fascinating guy. And he talked about his own experience of building his brand through LinkedIn and the brand of the company, where I think it was for the year 2020 or 2019, maybe, I can't remember which one, but the results, I think it's 2020. Yeah, he talked about, his website got, I don't know, 1.5 million, 2 million organic views, mm-hmm. but his LinkedIn posts, 10 million organic views. I mean, it just yes. just swamped it. And so it went from there, and the cost of recruiting people went down, and they were getting better people. And but also in there, that was fascinating, is because this is still an effort to convince many mm-hmm. sales leaders about this, is you mm-hmm. know, gave people free rein to mm-hmm. engage and to create and to develop yes. their own identities without fear of they're going to be recruited away or whatever. In fact, he considers a success actually when people get recruited away. So, yeah, it's happening. I just sort of, interesting your perspective is for leaders who are still sort of resisting this, what advice do you give them?
Yeah, I mean, we've met a lot of resistance, and I think not only because of the topic sort of emerging right now, it's happening, so there's not a lot of research done or case studies mm-hmm. or really data to back it up. So that's one thing, of course, causing some resistance among sales leaders and other leaders right. for that matter. But I think we are also a startup, right? Mm-hmm. A small team based in Copenhagen and so forth. That also provides some resistance along the way. So we fought those two at once, so to speak.
Right.
But the thing is, right, that if you think about it, and we did some experiments as well with some global companies actually where they have millions of followers on the company page.
Right.
And then we have a group of people, 10, 12 people, who are outperforming the company page just by posting once or twice a week for a couple of weeks. And when I say outperforming, it's in reach and engagement and so forth mm-hmm. with their market, right? So I think what's needed and what has opened a lot of doors to us, and especially recently, is that now we have some solid data to really show that this earned media value is actually something you can tap into. And we can talk about what that means and so forth.
Yeah.
But actually, instead of paying for attention, you can actually go out there and earn it right. with organic content. And not only that, like getting the impressions one-on-one, but you're building up your employees and their personal brands, which benefits not only them, but the company they work for. And to me, that's just a win-win situation that I think any company leader or sales leader or marketing leader should be focused on, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Leveraging the brands of their people, because the people is the greatest asset of any organization, in my opinion.
Well, I was going to take it just a step back and say for recruiting.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
I've said this before. It's like, if I'm a sales leader, if I'm hiring manager mm-hmm. fails, I would mm-hmm. not hire anybody that's not active on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
It's full stop.
No, same for me.
Full stop.
Yeah, full stop.
If I mean, you could come to me and you could have this incredible track record. Yeah, not that we can necessarily verify it and so on. But if you're not engaging on LinkedIn, if you're not putting out a point of view about what you believe, what you think is important in the markets mm-hmm. that you serve, that you're going to serve if I were to hire you, if you don't have value to add through that coming in,
yes,
I'm not interested.
Yeah. Oh, same for me. And the post you referred to just moments ago, the recruiting part is also really interesting. Like being a bootstrapped early stage mm-hmm. startup like ourselves, we don't go and hire recruiters to do our recruiting.
Right.
We rely on sort of guerrilla tactics and getting out there and doing stuff in a different way to find the talent, right?
Right.
But after we posted to LinkedIn, I started posting with two co-founders. So I started, my co-founder Alexander is technical. He was focused more on building mm-hmm. Building stuff. And so I was out there. And even just me, one individual being out there led to the first employees, mm-hmm. right? And from there, they started posting. And then they started creating some sort of interest that people wanted to work with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they discovered Shield. And now, you know, we're 13 people. We haven't spent any money on recruiting. All of them have come through word of mouth or LinkedIn.
Right.
And that just fascinates me. And I would never stop doing that, right? So now when I look at anyone for any role,
right.
I'm almost like, I need you to be able to grab your phone and do a selfie video. You know, that's sort of, you know, that's the litmus test, right? If you can do that, then we can move ahead with the conversation, because at some point I need you to recruit people, right?
Yeah.
Whoever you are, right? And so it's just becoming so important, right? It's exactly like you said.
Yeah, I get roughly a thousand plus pitches a year for people who want to be guests on the show. And plus I reach out to people and recruit people that I want to have on as guests as well. But for Sandus, I looked at their LinkedIn profile, you know, full stop. And I can't tell you how many. It's just like, do you mind if I give you a few hints, a few tips? You've got something interesting to say. I mean, yeah, I'm interviewing somebody later today. He's written what I think is an interesting book. And then I look what he's doing to promote it on LinkedIn and to write support it and so on. It's like nothing.
And
it's just like,
and that's a shame.
Yeah, you've got this. I mean, for me, yeah, I've got a fair number of followers, but all came through the content I created and posted. You know, I had none until I really started the podcast. And then
and I think that's a key point, Andy, you're making right there, right? You didn't have followers before you started posting.
Right.
And I mean, why would you? No. Unless you, of course, are a celebrity coming onto a platform, whatever, something like that. And you have to put something out there that adds value, and you have to be consistent about it. You have to keep going so that people know what they can expect from you on an ongoing basis, that they will always be able to open their feed and see something of value from you. Right. And when you flip that switch in people's mind, they're going to stay and they're going to become an interactive part of your audience, and they're going to bring new people in. So you get this flywheel effect going once you start niching down and figuring out who you can add value to and why that matters to you and them. Right.
Right. Well, I think the critical point there, too, that you brought is that you talk about the consistency. And it's to some degree, it's sort of like a TV show, right? If there's a TV show you watch that comes on every Thursday at 10, you're going to be disappointed when it's not there that Thursday at 10, right?
Yes.
It's the same with this podcast. You're going to schedule the podcast. People expect the podcast to be there at a certain time. And so to your point about, you know, once you develop this consistency, the point is not that it becomes onerous to maintain it. It's that you'll willingly maintain it because you're getting the engagement and the following, and you know you're having an impact on other people, right? Because that's really the ultimate measure of building your personal brand. It's not the sheer number of followers. It's, for me, it's how many DMs am I getting with people saying that, you know, they love the show and it's had an impact on their career or their ability to sell or whatever. I mean, to me, those are gold.
Absolutely. And I mean, the follower metric, let's talk about it, right? Because if people are always looking at followers, it's the most visible metric when you go to someone's profile. You don't see views, you don't really get a grasp of engagement or anything like that, or post frequency and stuff like that. But you can see the follower count. And I would say in isolation, it's a vanity metric. It's just a number.
Absolutely.
Right? But for the one who actually has a given amount of followers, who puts out content consistently and see that number grow while the engagement rate is maintained, right? If you manage to get that going so that you can actually grow, let's say 10% month over month with your followers, and you're posting every day, Monday to Friday, then you're doing something right if the engagement is also consistent, right? Then you just know, right? You have the data and you got this feeling in your body that this is actually working, because you also get the DMs and you get the sentiment and you get a feel for it, right? So followers is of course important in sort of understanding whether you have this, I like to call it content market fit. Coming from the startup world where we are chasing the product market fit, right? And here it's you know, when you sort of hit it off with some content or a topic or a train of thought that you sort of post around, you can just feel it, right? You can just feel that something is happening. People DM you, say they like the show, they like what you're doing, is super inspiring content and whatnot, and then you know you're on the right track, especially if these people also from a demographic point of view resonate with you, right?
Right.
That this is the right kind of people. Of course, that's important.
Yeah, I mean, when you hit ones that really hit the sweet spot, you know, it's, you're like, wow, right? It's like, okay, I need to do more of that. And it becomes sort of a challenge to say, well, okay, what was the component of this that resonated so much?
100%. No, I think you hit it right there, like spot on. Like, what is the component that was the thing that made it happen the way you would want it to? right? Because you may post about something and you may have a statement, you may have a question, you may have some thoughts in there, whatever it is, right? But it could be that one thing that really kicked it off, right? And that's sort of a next level, like a qualitative study on top of the analytics, mm-hmm. right? Like what is it actually? And to me, and I think that anyone could apply this, right? That if you get deep in the comments on your own content, you'll realize what that one thing is.
Oh yeah, and you
if you read the DMs as well.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I was going to say, yeah, one of the obligations you are incurring, I believe, that if you want to do this effectively and build your personal brand, is you have to reply to comments.
100%.
Yeah, and it's going to take some time. You know, there's some debate whether you should be doing it immediately, whether that feeds the algorithm, or whether you can wait. And you know, seen it both ways. But mm-hmm. the point you're doing it to have conversations, right? To have an impact on other people, to learn about and connect with other people. And it's not a broadcast medium. This is an interactive medium. And you need to, yes. you need to know that. But that's the beauty of it, right? Is you learn mm-hmm. through interacting.
Absolutely.
You don't learn from broadcasting.
No. No, you learn nothing from broadcasting except for the reflexive process around creating,
right?
Your content piece. But you don't get all the feedback. You don't get you don't get to understand how the world sees you
mm-hmm.
and how the world sees what you published, right? You don't get that part of your broadcasting. And I would say, as you said, it's all about the conversations, right? And if you're a salesperson, leader or rep or whatever, and you're looking towards a market or a niche with a certain product offering, certain benefits, you have some very unique knowledge around that space. Even though you sit next to another guy who's selling the same product, everyone's unique. We mm-hmm. got different backgrounds, different stories, different
right.
experiences, different interactions with our markets. So we can all talk from a unique point mm-hmm. of view and bring value. So I think that, you know, it's just an open playing field right now. There's not a lot of people leaning into this. It's surely going to happen over the next couple of years once it becomes sort of mainstream that you have to build up your brand. Right. And I think it will, maybe on the different terminology. I don't know if that changes.
Oh, for brand?
And to me, I mean, personal brand, it's sort of got a mixed reception, I would say. The way people talk about it, it's almost like you have to become a logo. But that's exactly what you don't have to become, right?
Yeah. Well, and it's, yeah, I think yeah. the reason some sales leaders push back on it is because it's, they think it's sort of self-aggrandizing or it's you know, too self-focused. And sure, some people can do it that way, but that's not really the point, right? I mean, this is,
no.
as an individual, you have to look at this as an asset that you're building for your career. And you're not doing it
yes.
for a company or an employer. No. You're doing it for a career. And so...
For you.
For you. Yeah. And if you want to sort of get a good sense of the impact of sort of building your network, you know, great book to read is like Never Eat Lunch Alone by Keith Ferrazzi,
yes.
which, you know, talks specifically about the value of the network you build throughout your career and the ways that you can help people, right? And the way that comes mm-hmm. around when you help more people. Sort
yes.
of like the Go Giver as well, formula as well. So,
yes.
yeah, you're not doing it for this job. You're doing it for you.
Yes. I mean, this is the key thing. And I think maybe the phrase or the term personal branding is actually good because it is personal. It's you.
Oh, yeah.
It's for you, right? And brand can easily be translated into reputation or something like that, right? At least for the sake of the conversation. So if it's your reputation, and I'm sure that most people are brilliant at what they do, or at least aspire to become brilliant and so do a lot of good things on the way. But if the world does not know that, they're also not going to engage with you. They're
right.
not going to find you, and opportunities are not going to come your way, right? So it is for you. It is for your career. It is for your life, right? And I mean, our journey in Shield is modest, and my own as well on LinkedIn. But I feel it, and I see it. And mm-hmm. we haven't paid for ads. We haven't paid for, being getting some sort of great placement. I don't even know how to talk about these things because we don't do it, right? I mean, that's where it's at.
Right.
So we've basically just been posting to LinkedIn for a couple of years, and the more people who join our mission and also talk about the same thing mm-hmm. from their own perspectives, the faster we grow, right? Yeah. So to me, it's just a no-brainer. Like, we've never done the traditional methods of sales and cold calling and all of that. We skipped to this because of, I guess, the moment in time and how we discovered the market and the gap in the market that got us started, right? It just felt natural. But so I have no experience doing all the other stuff. I just know that this works.
Yeah.
And I know it works. I know it works so well that I'm not going to do the other stuff. And maybe you could prove me wrong or tell me how I could be better, but that's how I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, I mean, I for my own marketing purposes, yeah, double down on LinkedIn. And you see it with, it's not just individuals. I mean, there are companies that have built their brand on LinkedIn, that have raised tremendous sums of money, that have valuations in the billions of dollars, that have largely built their brands on the back of not the company posting on LinkedIn, but the employees posting on LinkedIn.
The people. Yes, absolutely. And I think that is, we're probably thinking about some of the same companies here, I'm sure. Yeah. But they're really doing a good job just being out there with their people. And I think that it sort of feels like they are omnipresent when everyone's just posting from the company. You always see someone from that company with some good content. Mm-hmm. It may or may not resonate with me or with you, but it's still good content, most of it, right? And that just drives so much inbound from all angles, right? Inbound attention towards the brand, inbound opportunities, leads, inbound talent. I mean, what's not to like, right? And I know, back to Casey Graham, that he's doing a good job at gravy with that. And you know, that's a great example and a great story.
Well, and I think that the lessons for so many leaders who listen to this is because, again, I know individuals get pushback. Oh, you didn't make your numbers this month. You're spending too much time on LinkedIn. It's like, not really the push-pull that makes sense. But, he sees this as a way to develop his people, enable his people to develop, to let them grow. And he said he takes pride in what he calls, gravy graduations. You know, when people actually leave the company, get better offers, if he's not able to offer, he'd love to keep people, obviously, but if they, as a result of this, they get a better offer and they go somewhere, he's happy, right?
Yeah. No, and I totally get that. And I subscribe to that as well. Like, that's brilliant. I mean, if someone leaves Shield because they got a better offer from posting on LinkedIn and that's what they want to go and do in their career, that just, supports the whole foundation of what we just discussed, personal branding. You're doing it for you and your career.
Right.
So if you got something out of seemingly nowhere that's better for you and you take it, that's how it's supposed to be. I'm not going to complain.
Yeah. No, I mean, you got some value out of the person. They've grown. Yeah, and I to your point, is I think that we are just at such the beginning stages of this.
Yeah.
Even though there's a lot of talk around it, but I'm sure you know the statistics, so maybe you can tell us, because I forget the exact statistic, but the percentage of LinkedIn members that are actually engaged on a regular basis is pretty low, right? Maybe like 10% or less or something like that.
Yeah, I think less. I think single digits, without being able to verify those numbers. But yeah, it's something like that. So that alone is an opportunity, right?
Right. So as we get more people to become participants as opposed to spectators, because LinkedIn is really not meant to be a spectator sport. It's really meant to be a full contact sport. Get more people engaged. The power of the platform grows. The power of the platform for you grows. And I think that's such an important lesson for people that are sort of thinking about starting now. It's never too late, and B, it's just going to get better and more opportunities for you. Whether you're an employee in a career, as you said, a solopreneur, an entrepreneur, you have this opportunity to create this brand on a platform where people are basically paying to find you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I talked to a guy the other day, and he was reluctant. He was explaining to me how his industry was not as digitized and ready for something like LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And then I ask him, like, but are the people you do business with, your existing customers, are they on LinkedIn? Yeah, they're here. I'm connected with them. And they're like, what are you waiting for? I mean, what are you waiting for? To me, it was so obvious. But then right. We had this conversation. And you know, just from what I relay to you here, the opportunity for him, in my perspective, was that he could be the first.
Yeah.
He could be the first in his industry, in his space, in his niche. And I don't know a whole lot about all of that in his in his context. But for what it's worth, he could be the first, right? He could be setting the way, leading the way, and have everyone rally behind him and do the same.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. If he thinks his industry, they're not doing it now, they will be. So
yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I mean, any industry that didn't do something once, they do it now, probably, because of tech and the way things are going.
Right. So, yeah, okay. You know, the early adopters of LinkedIn were primarily in tech industry and so on, but it's expanded so far beyond that, and it's continuing to get...
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious. What's sort of your daily, weekly LinkedIn habits?
Mm. Yeah, I'm actually very unstructured. Just getting that disclaimer out there. So, back to the feelings and emotions and all of that. I open up LinkedIn every morning. I go there first thing. I have always pending notifications and DMs from people, and I want to respond to everyone. I rarely get to do that at this point. I've reached a point where it's sort of impossible. Also, running the company, right. being available to the people here, have a family with small kids and stuff like that. So I feel like I have a lot on my plate, and then you know hundreds of notifications and the red dot that just keeps going up, even though you start responding. But I go there every day, and I go there throughout the day as well. Have conversations, ongoing conversations. Put out content to start those conversations that then end up in the DMs. So for me, it's just an ongoing thing all the time. Mm-hmm. LinkedIn is in my dock on my iPhone amongst the four chosen apps. You know,
yeah, me too.
So it's so ingrained in what I do. Like after we're done here, I'm probably going to see what's happening on LinkedIn because so much is happening around my account and through what I'm involved in, comments I leave on other people's content and they reply to me and so forth. So for me, it's all about the conversations and I have so many going at any given time. So I have to be on LinkedIn almost always as well.
It's your business.
But I also want to say that it's the only social platform that I'm on all the time.
Right.
I don't have a Facebook account. I don't do Instagram. I don't do any of that because I don't see the purpose for me. So right. I just do LinkedIn because that makes a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, I'm very similar. I have a Facebook account that I never post to. I think I have an Instagram account, but yeah, it's LinkedIn.
Yeah, what are your habits around it, like daily habits? I'm super curious.
Yeah, with you, sort of the first thing I check. Because, there'll always be notifications and DMs to respond to. So try to post at least once a day, if not twice. And so I have, since I'm creating other content, you know, three podcasts a week, with plenty of fodder there for good content to post. And then just, other things I'm interested in posting, you know, whether I do a poll, which, polls are going crazy these days. Or, sharing a piece of content. You know, we do some lead gen for RingDNA that, owns my podcast. We had a post last week, 2 weeks ago, I guess, over 500,000 views and 5,000 comments. And, that keeps you busy replying to all that.
It does. And it also, I mean, I read about, I don't remember the author, though, but it was about content creator burnout. And that was a very real thing. And I can totally nod along and I know how that feels as well, right? But that's sort of the how do you call it? Like the other side of the coin, the backside of the metal in a way. Like when you reach a certain inflection point where it becomes too much and you're trying to catch up in a way and you feel bad about it, people DMing you and there's so much going on and missed opportunities because all of that happening at the same time and how you're going to manage and stuff like that. But that's truly a privilege to be at that point, to be able to have gone from nothing to put out content and add so much value that people rally behind it. You grow your following, you build an interactive audience, almost a tribe, at least a group of anyone's audience, right? To me, that's just, you know, I just want to get back to people. I think that we all should, and I think that's the way to grow.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a word we talked about earlier. It's just impact, right? Impact should be the goal, right? How can you have an impact on the people that are engaging with your content? And use a tool like Shield to see whether you're having that impact. And that's really, at the end of the day, it's not about the followers. It's just about, for me, it's about impact.
And I think impact, you know, sorry to cut you off, but I feel really strong about that because a lot of people, they're sort of dismissing the value of, and these are often people who don't post and who haven't realized the potential yet, right? But they dismiss the value of LinkedIn and being active on there and say like, yeah, but followers is a vanity metric. What are you going to do with 50,000 followers or 20,000 or 10,000 for that matter? Where it's, you know, it's not about that, right? It's about having any number of followers, putting something out there and then feeling the impact through DMs and conversations started and people who get back to you and say like, that post inspired me tremendously. I did this as a result.
Right.
And then you're like, that's huge, right? And that's going to keep me going, right? And so for me, the impact, it could be strictly revenue speaking. To me, it's not. Even though it, as a bootstrap founder, I should probably focus a whole lot about on revenue, and I do. But I focus on the impact more because this is the long game, right? If I can add value to people consistently over time, I'm sure great things are going to happen, and that's what I rely on. And so far, it's proven to be correct. And I think sort of like the history would also back that up. That if you just keep doing good and go for true impact, then you're going to do fine.
I agree. Well, that sounds like a great way to end the interview. You summed it up perfectly. So,
I'm glad.
So, Andreas, if people want to learn more about Shield, where should they go?
Yeah, so Shield, LinkedIn Analytics, if you need that, want that, or are interested in that, we have a website, and it's called shieldapp.ai. Shieldapp.ai. So that's for the tool, the software that we've built for creators. I'd be more than happy to connect with anyone listening on LinkedIn. And I go by my name, Andreas Johnson. And hopefully you should be able to find me. Otherwise, I'm going to play in LinkedIn. but that would be a great way. So I'd appreciate that.
Probably not too many of you, I would imagine.
No, you're right. Yeah. If you Google me, then you get a Swedish motorcycle professional. But he's not on LinkedIn because it's not so much for sports yet.
Yes.
So
well, they are coming. You're seeing more NBA players on LinkedIn these days. So
absolutely. Yeah. And the German football players, they're actually doing a really good job on LinkedIn.
Are they really?
During at least before they
lost
they went
match
out of
to England.
Yes, exactly. Before that, some of them did great, like truly, because of their names and celebrity status, of course, as well.
Well, since you're a football fan, you appreciate that. At our company at RingDNA, we have our director of revenue operations is Jordan Henderson.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
okay.
He's occasionally gotten messages on other social platforms intended for Jordan Henderson, the captain of the English side. But
yeah. Okay. And it's not the same guy. Just to be completely clear,
it's not the same guy.
Yeah.
So
no, but that's
all
interesting.
Right. Andreas, it's been a pleasure.
Absolutely, Andy. Thank you so much for inviting me on.
We'll do it again. Okay, friends, that's it for this episode. First of all, I want to thank you for taking the time to listen. As always, I'm so grateful for your support of the show. And I want to thank my guest, Andreas Johnson, for sharing his insights with us today. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to subscribe to this podcast, Sales Enablement with Andy Paul, on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And as always, thank you so much for investing your time with me today. Until next time, I'm your host, Andy Paul. Good selling, everyone.
Hey, sales strategists. At Revenue.io, we're not just imagining the future of sales. We're building it. We offer the world's most complete platform for revenue teams, and we're featured in the most recent Forrester Waves for both sales engagement and conversation intelligence. With Revenue.io, you can slash call prep time to seconds, guide your reps in real time to have more successful conversations, and after calls, we generate ready-to-send recap emails so sellers can keep deals soaring toward the finish line at light speed. See the future of sales now at Revenue.io.